One of the biggest challenges is when you see other folk get blessed and it look like your blessing just won't come. Amen. I thought I would get a few more amens than that, but I... And so Jeremiah has the assignment of declaring a warning to the people of Judah about their future. It can be viewed as either startling or encouraging, because the first 39 chapters of the book is a warning about God's impending judgment because of the life and the way they've lived. But once you get past chapter 39, we begin to see the prophecy of God's promises of though he whips them, he's going to bring them out. He's going to give them victory. And I wanted to talk because I believe we are called to be in a season of repentance today. This is the word that has gone forth for us today, that this is a time of self-examination and a season of repentance. It is a season of consecration. We don't want to sleep that, because it becomes so easy for people to keep on living life and doing what you're doing and keep on walking the way you're walking, because I've discovered that church folk can live wretched lives and still come to church on Sundays. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. I know that it becomes so easy for it to become a lifestyle and a custom of living your life in such a way where you excuse certain behavior and certain practices and certain things that you're doing in your life because that's just the way you are, or you're waiting for your breakthrough to come, or you're waiting for God to deliver you. Let me tell you something. There's some things you got to understand. God is not going to send an angel to come down and rip the cigarettes out your pocket. You're going to have to put them things down yourself. God is not going to empty out the liquor vases that are in your basement around your bar. God is not going to unplug the pornography from off of your computer. He's not going to come and burn your Playboy or Playgirl magazines. Go on and preach, Pastor. They ain't going to say nothing. You got to get rid of that yourself. You and I have to make choices of repentance. And so God says to Jeremiah that I want you to warn the people that I have made observations of their behavior, and I want you to warn them about the way they've been living their lives. And that's what this book is about. As a matter of fact, there are some startling things that he says in this, particularly in this second chapter. He's challenging this southern kingdom of Judah about how they've conducted their lives, and he says to them in essence, with an insightful word, he says, I want you to recognize that God says in verse 9, I'm bringing charges against you. Now, it's one thing for a prosecutor to bring charges against you and then to plead their case and articulate it before a jury or a judge. But when the judge himself brings the charges against you, God says, I've examined your behavior, and I've watched what you've done, and I've watched what you've been doing, and I've observed you, and he says, I'm bringing charges. Look at verse 9. He says, I will yet bring charges against you. As a matter of fact, in verses 10 and 11, he says, in essence, let me paraphrase it for you, what y'all are doing, even the heathen people ain't doing. He says, I want you to go past beyond the coast of Cyprus and send to Kedar and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing that a nation would change its gods, which are not gods at all. He says, even the heathens who live wickedly and are serving a false god that's not a god at all, haven't walked away from their God like you, who are serving the true and living God, have walked away from me. Let me rewind that and give that back to you again. I know that went over some of y'all's head. He says, even the heathens, the people who don't have a vibrant relationship with a living God, have stayed connected to their dead God. And you, who have a relationship with the true and living God, have chosen to walk away from me. Somebody lean over and tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than you're saying amen. Tell them on the other side, you ought to at least say amen when the pastor tells the truth. As a matter of fact, in verse 12, he says, you should be astonished. You should be in a state of shock. He says, be astonished, O heavens, and be horribly afraid. He says, you ought to be scared of what you've done. That's what's missing in the nation today. There's no fear of God. We're not scared for our sin. We do it bodaciously and with pride and arrogance. We're not scared of our wrong. It's tragic. It's painful that the God who wakes us up every morning and gives us the activities of our limbs, who makes provisions for us, but yet we still walk away from Him. And God said to the chosen people, the people to whose His hand rested on, Judah, He speaks to the nation of Judah. Judah, the people whose name itself means praise. Judah, the ones who deserve, the ones who have been called to give Him praise. He says to Judah, you should be horribly afraid for the way you're living your lives. The tragedy is we are not afraid. We boldly justify our behavior. We excuse our actions. We somehow seem to make it all right. Matter of fact, we call Him the good Lord. He is a good God. He's better to you than you have been to Him. He says, you ought to be horribly afraid. You should be desolate. You should be distraught. You should be in sackcloth and ashes for how you're living your lives and the choices that you've made. And he says, you know, and the fact is God can run down a list of issues of what they've done, but he narrows it down to two things. And if you could get these two things straight, you would straighten up a whole lot of drama in your life. He says the first problem is right here in verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. Here's number one. Here's the first thing that they've done. And come on, somebody on your row has done this. They have forsaken me. They've chosen to walk away from me. And yet every day we got people who supposedly have a relationship with God, who have made choices and made decisions to walk away from God. Now here's the strange thing. I doubt that anybody in this building today, I doubt that any of y'all looking all righteous with your ties and your hats and your sanctified clothes, y'all look really rather saved. You look pious, you look religious, you look like you love God. I doubt that if I called for a list of hands of people who have forsaken God, I don't think I'd get very many hands at all. But the reality is, if somebody were to follow you, we'd find some folk forsaking the ways of God before they get off the parking lot. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here right now. We have forsaken God. Some of us have forsaken. We would find if you... Listen, Lionel Harris once sung a song that says, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I mean, really, tell the truth. If I were to follow you around in your normal pattern, if I could get up in your head and what you're thinking, if I could get down into the inner recesses of your heart and what you're pondering, if I could hang out with you on your job and be on the conversations that you have on the phone, and if I could watch the same television programs that you watch day by day, if I could read the same books and look at the same magazines, and if I could listen to the same music that you're listening to, preach on, Pastor, I think I will. If I would just follow you around, I wonder, have you forsaken God? He said, you have forsaken me. You've turned your back on my ways. It's no longer about you living for me. It's no longer about you pursuing me. It's no longer about you chasing hard after my ways and after my principles and after my truth and after my love and after my passion for you. He says, you have forsaken me. And yet, though we have a facade of religion and a facade of holiness, if the truth be told, there are components of everybody's life in here. Y'all can act like you saved all you want, but if we dig deep enough and look far enough and look close enough, there are some areas in your life where you have forsaken God. You've made choices to say, well, I'm not doing that. I'm going to church on Sunday, but don't ask me about Tuesday night. Prayer service? Psh, please. No, oh, I'll drop some money in the offering, but tithing? Psh, please. We make choices that regardless of what the scriptures say, we make decisions to go in the opposite direction. It's evident in our decisions and our actions and how we spend our money, how we treat other people, how we walk away from our marriages, how we treat our children, how we relate to other people. It is evident that we choose to forsake the ways of God. As a matter of fact, the text goes a little bit further. Go on and preach, Pastor. He says, we have forsaken God. And look at what he says about himself. It says right here, we have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters. Well, I think that's amazing. God says, you have walked away from the very thing that is the source of life. You've walked away from the very person who is the source of victory and joy and peace and hope for your life. You've walked away from his ways. Let me tell you something. When God gives us his principles and when he gives us his restrictions and when he gives us his guidelines, it's not to make life boring and humdrum and to make you sad. He gives it to us because he's been God long enough that he knows how he created you and he knows what is best for you. He says, I know what's going to give you joy that is unspeakable. I know what's going to give you peace that surpasses understanding. I know what's going to bring blessings in your finances and blessings with your kids and blessings in your marriage and blessings in your own mind. But if you keep on walking away from it, you are forsaking the very fountain of life. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you're here. I don't know your name. I don't know who you are, but all I know is that I woke up at four o'clock this morning, tossing and turning, trying to figure out what I was going to say. And I just decided I'm just going to say it. Please put aside the mentality that you belong to church. Put aside the mentality you've been baptized. Put aside the mentality you do this and you do that. No, no, no. When it gets down to where the rubber meets the road, you need to ask yourself, do I live a life where I'm drawing, I'm pulling from, I'm sucking and drinking from the fountain of water that's living water? He says, I'm the fountain that supplies not just water, but living water. As a matter of fact, the word water here in the Hebrew is a term that means waste. That's amazing. Water means waste. But there's a descriptor on the front end of it that defines that it's not ordinary water that he's asking you to partake of. It's living water. Where you take that which would be called wasteful. And when you put living in front of it, he says, I take what is wasteful and I will make it living. I will make it give you life. And that's what God wants to do for you to sup from that. He said, that's the first mistake that they made. They made a choice to allow their lives to be sucking and drawing from other than what they should. They have chosen to forsake God, who is the source of living water. And that's an interesting term, living water, because it is mentioned several times in scriptures. It was in John chapter 4 when Jesus met a woman at the well and he asked her for some water, and she said, I can't believe that you, a Jew, is asking me, a Samaritan, for some water. And he said to her, listen to what Jesus said to the woman at the well. Look at what Jesus said to the Samaritan. To woman at the well, he said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for the water that I have, and he said, I would give you living water. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I know you're here today. You've been sucking from the wrong water. You've been going to the wrong well, and I've come today to tell you that if you would ask Jesus, he has living water. He says, if you drink from this, from my well, you'll never have to come back to this well again. If you suck from what Jesus has to offer, you'll never have to go back to drugs again. You won't have to go back to immorality again, because his joy is unspeakable and full of glory. He satisfies you deep down on the inside. Because when it's all said and done, whatever you're doing, whatever you're sucking from, whatever you are drinking from, you got to keep going back. You got to keep on going back to that relationship. Keep on going back to that habit. Keep on going back to that wrong. Keep on going back to have the same thing. But I'm telling you today, I'm telling you this morning, if you sup from Jesus, if you get a relationship with him, he satisfies you like nothing that this world has to offer. Somebody give our God a praise and a shout this morning. As a matter of fact, that's what John 4:10 says. Jesus says, I'll give you living water. In John 7:38, don't have time to turn there, but I'll tell you what it says. John 7:38 declares that whoever believes in Jesus will have rivers of living water flowing out of their heart. Here's the distinction, saints. I felt something right there. Somebody about to get set free right here with what I'm about to say. If you want to know what you're drinking and which fountain you're drinking from, here's how you tell the difference. Ooh, the Holy Ghost just gave this to me to give y'all right here. I should have had it before with all of my said I should have, but the Holy Ghost just you ever see, you've been reading and bam, you see something you never seen before. Here it is. Here's the distinction. I'm going to drop it off. I'm not going to charge you extra. It goes free with the territory. I'm just going to give it to you. How do you know whether you're drinking from the living fountain or from a fountain of wasted water? Because John 7:38 says, he who believes in Jesus will drink living waters that will flow from their heart. Here's the distinction. When you are drinking external water, you find fulfillment, though temporary, from external sources. But when you drink living water, it doesn't matter what's happening externally because it flows from your heart, from internally. Oh, I wish I had somebody saying amen. See, some of you get your fulfillment when you go to the store and buy something. Where are all the women at? Come on, y'all know I'm talking about y'all. You get a joy. You feel good when you buy a new dress. But that's just temporary. It ain't gonna last always. How you know, Pastor? Because you ain't going to fit that dress always. Come on, talk to a brother for just a second. You get a new car, you buy a new house, that's external. But when you have the rivers of living water, you might not be able to fit any dress that you have. I didn't get too many amens on that. But I should have got a lot more amens than I got. Your car might be stolen. Your house might be burned down. It doesn't matter what happens externally, because where you're drinking from is not external. You're drinking from something that is generated from a fountain that's generated on the inside, birthed out of a relationship with Jesus. God said to them, you guys have made the mistake of walking away from a vibrant relationship with me, and you have forsaken me and forsaken my word and forsaken the pursuit of me. And I dare to say, I believe that there's some folk who fall in that category. But there's a second thing that they did. There's yet a second choice here. He says, not only have they forsaken me, the fountain of living water, but he says, but they've also hewn themselves cisterns. They've made for themselves that which is their own well. You see, they would make these cisterns, these things that held water out of clay, out of the dirt of the ground, and they would make their own cisterns and put water in. And God relates that to what they're doing. He in essence says, is you are creating your own source to go and get water. And yet you're putting your own water in it so you can go back and drink from that when you want to. And here's the drama. Here's the problem. Look at your neighbor. Say, he about to say something to you. Tell him. You have made your own cistern. And what is your cistern? For some of you, it's a habit. For some of you, it's a relationship. What vice, what item, what goal, what component, what element of life have you created to be your own source of going to find satisfaction? The problem with the cisterns that you created, they don't hold water. You put water in it, but it won't hold the water that you put in it. Some of you have cultivated relationships that you look to be the source of your joy. And here's the problem, and I don't even know how to describe it to you other than to say you've cultivated things in your life and around your life that's your own little pot. Your own pot to which you go to get satisfaction. For some of y'all, it's relationships. And here's the problem with that cistern that you created that won't hold water. It won't last. Come here, girlfriend. Let me tell you something. If that man who's married is fooling with you and your hopes is that he's going to get divorced and marry you, that won't hold water. Because if he cheated on his wife with you, bro, if she slept with you on the first date, you are not the first and you will not be the last. It won't hold water. Somebody said it won't hold water. You're building cisterns that won't hold water. But I got great news for you. You can drop that pot. And let me tell you about another pot. Matter of fact, it's not a pot because a pot can run dry. I'm not drinking from a pot. I'm drinking from a fountain. Somebody say, I'm drinking from a fountain that will never run dry. I'm drinking from a fountain. I'm drinking from living waters. The greatest thing I have to offer you today is to swallow your pride and humble yourself and say, you know what, God, I have forsaken you. I'm drinking from the wrong fountain. I don't know what your pot is. I don't know what your cistern is, but it can't hold water. It's time for you to swallow your pride and humble yourself and say, you know what, I need to get right with God. For some of you, your cistern is religion. I was one who grew up in church, sang in the choir. I was in the choir, rocking from side to side. I was an usher. I could greet you and turn and go ahead and seat you. I was smooth. Come on, say smooth. I was smooth. I was in church every time the doors were open. For me, my cistern was religion. But one day, religion couldn't give me what I needed deep down on the inside. It ran dry. And one Tuesday night, I realized how dry my cistern was. And one Tuesday night, I came to Jesus in a revival service. And I know folk were talking. They were whispering to themselves. They said, he's already a member of the church. He's already been baptized. He sings in the choir. He serves on the usher board. He's in church every time. What's he going down there for? But on that day, I did not care what anybody said about me. All I knew is that my cistern had run dry. I was tired of drinking from that pot. And I said, I want some living water. And I'm glad to tell you that Jesus gave me living water.
You have been watching Developing Dynamic Disciples with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden.
Today's message, Two Dangerous Choices, is available in its entirety on CD or DVD. To obtain your copy, call us now at 301-773-3600. Again, that's 301-773-3600. Ask for the message entitled, Two Dangerous Choices. Offer number 042-510A. That's offer number 042-510A.
Come worship with us at 600 Watkins Park Drive in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Join us for our 8 a.m., 10 a.m., or noon Sunday service. On the fourth Sunday, our communion service is at the Worship Center at 6:30 p.m. All other 6:30 p.m. services will be held at our Ministry Center, located at 3600 Brightseed Road in Landover, Maryland. Please drop by our Worship Center on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. for Bible study and corporate prayer. Our Wednesday noon prayer and Bible study is held at the Ministry Center. Watch Pastor Jenkins 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our web television broadcast. For more information, contact us at 301-773-3600 or visit our website at www.fbcglenarden.org. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you will be ready to face life's challenges and live victoriously. Before we go, here's Pastor Jenkins with a final thought.
And if you're here today and your pot is dry, get up out your seat and make your way to this altar and say, I want some living water. I want a relationship with Jesus. If you walked away from him and you want to rededicate yourself, come down and say, I want to get right with God. If you don't have a church home, come on right now. Get right with God. If you're not sure, come on and get right with God. This is your day. This is your time. Come.